This recording by the Cedar Mill Community Library is another in our series of oral history interviews conducted by Sunset High students with local immigrants. Bizet Sage tells us about moving from Holland to South Africa and then to the U.S. in her youth. So sit back and enjoy.
Hi, I am Sarah. What's your name?
My name is Bizet Sage.
Okay. And where did your family come from?
Well, we're originally from Holland, and I was born in Holland.
What year did you come to Oregon?
Well, after I've been in the United States for quite a while. Do you want me to go back to the beginning and say how it came about?
If you don't mind.
Oh, no, of course not. I was born in Holland in 1947, so that was about 2 years after World War II ended. Mm-hmm. And my parents wanted to leave Holland and wanted to go to America, but they didn't know anybody. Mm-hmm. You had to have a job, you had to have a contact, you couldn't just come. So then their next choice was Australia, and Australia wasn't letting any immigrants in. So they decided on South Africa because there are a lot of Dutch people in South Africa, and even today immigration to South Africa is encouraged. And so and then when I was 10 months old, my brother was 4, we went to South Africa, first in Pretoria and then Johannesburg. And then when I was 10 years old, they had the opportunity then to come to the United States. So we went down to Cape Town. We took a ocean liner, because people traveled by boat then. We took a boat from Cape Town up to Holland, and we visited relatives for a couple of weeks. And then we took another boat from Rotterdam over to New York. My father bought a car, and we spent 3 months traveling across the United States and ended up in L.A. So then in L.A., I went through high school and early college and came to Oregon in 1967. Lived in Coos Bay and then in Prine Mill, Central Oregon, and finally in Portland.
It's been all around. Everywhere.
Yeah, well, when I was a kid, you know, you don't like to be different. So when I was a kid, I didn't appreciate the fact that I was bilingual because we grew up speaking mm-hmm. Dutch. But then when you get older, you realize that you've had a neat experience. But when you're, you know, well, when you're your age, you know, you want to really fit in, and I didn't always feel like I did, you know, because of a different background.
Yeah. But did you, or why did you come to Oregon?
Well, I actually, you know, we went to L.A., but the reason I came to Oregon is because I, the guy that I was going to marry, I was engaged at that time when we got married, he wanted to work and live in Oregon, and so that's how we came to be in Oregon. And we were divorced when our son was 2, and I opted to stay in Oregon. Mm. Here I am.
What were the biggest challenges that you faced in coming here?
Coming to this country?
Yeah.
I would say the changing culture, because when we came here, that was in 1958. Mm-hmm. I was 10 years old. South Africa was very segregated. And to suddenly come into a culture that wasn't, mm-hmm. as a child, where you don't know any different, was difficult. And schools were really difficult. In South Africa, the schools were more advanced. And so, you know, just the difference in school, the difference in culture and everything. Yeah, it took quite a while to really feel like I belonged, you know.
Do you like the culture here?
Well, now, you know, now that I'm 62 years old and well established with my work and everything, because I like the mix. I like mm-hmm. the cultural mix. I love Portland. You know, I don't think I'd want to live anywhere else. Yes.
What differences were the most obvious to you when you arrived?
When we first arrived here?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's kind of what I was talking about, you know, immediately. I mean, to give you an example, after I think it was my second year here, because first year I was in sixth grade, second year in seventh grade, I had a science teacher who was an African American. Mm-hmm. And because I had grown up the way I had, it was really difficult to see this man as an authority figure. And looking back, I'm sure he realized what my background was, because mm-hmm. he was always very kind, really good teacher, and it was a real good experience for me that year. But initially, you can imagine, you know, mm-hmm. you're raised, that's the only thing you know. I think that was the big thing, that adaptation.
Did you or your family ever have to face any? Okay, so did you ever have to face any prejudice in Oregon after your arrival?
No, because I'd been here. Let's see, we'd been here from 58, and I came to. I came to Oregon in 67, and I had lost my South African accent, and if I didn't tell people where I was from, they didn't know anyway, you know. I did experience for quite a few years when I told people where I was from, there was kind of a negative attitude, as if, you know, I had been in charge of all that segregation, which, of course, you know, you just live there. So that was kind of interesting. You know, I just didn't always mention it.
What about when you first came to the States? Did you face prejudice?
Yeah. That was really interesting. because I initially made that mistake of saying where I was from. Mm-hmm. And I remember that there were a couple of African-American girls who actually, just from what I can remember, that they grabbed me in the girls' restroom and shoved me around. And I was terrified. You know, why is this happening? When we left Africa, my parents were saying, you're going to this wonderful country and you're going to have tons of friends, you know. And I try to remember when you were 10 or 11 years old. So that was hard.
What do you like the most about Oregon?
I would say the fact that for such a big city that it's beautiful here. You can be driving through a street that is real woodsy. You know, we went up to the Children's Museum today, and you come back down Shoals Ferry, and you wouldn't even know you're in a city, you know, all that greenery. And the fact that you can make a day trip to the mountains, you can go to the river, you can go to the coast. We went to the coast yesterday, just a day trip.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice. I really like that. But big enough to meet all your needs in Portland, you know.
What aspects do you miss the most about your native countries?
Well, and I consider the native country Holland,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like I came more from a Dutch culture.
Yeah.
And also speaking the language. My first husband, my ex-husband then, is Dutch. And when we separated, he did go back to Holland because he was originally from Holland. And so I've been back there a lot. I've been back to visit relatives. Before I remarried, I would spend a month there every summer so that our son could get to know his dad and get to know all his relatives. And I've always felt really at home there. And I don't know, maybe if I'd grown up there, I'd be thinking, gee, I wish I lived in America. You know, the grass is always greener somewhere else. I've always really felt at home there. The living style of the people, the way they interact, you know, which is, and it's changing too. I mean, there's quite an American influence all around the world, and you really see that in Holland too.
So, in Holland, do you still go there?
It's been quite a few years since I've been.
The last time you went, is it like Oregon at all, like city and?
Well, Oregon is bigger than Holland.
Oh my gosh. Uh-huh, yeah.
Holland is real small and it's real flat. And what you do get in Holland is, because it's so flat, you get a huge sky.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, in all directions, you're looking way into the distance. And so when you get stormy weather or you get a beautiful sunset, it is just overwhelming. If you go the eastern part, then it becomes a little bit more like Germany. There's more woods and stuff like that. But it's a rather controlled environment. There's no urban sprawl because they're very protective of their natural areas. They're very protective of their farming areas. So the communities, the streets are small, the cars are small. And it's interesting to see what people do with less. I mean, I've met a doctor there in the past who didn't believe in owning a car. And he rode his bicycle to his office. You know, a physician.
That's kind of cool.
It is cool. And after spending a month there, when I would come back to the United States, I initially would be so aware of how wasteful we are, how overindulgent we are. And then after a while, Oh, I got used to it. Well, you do. I mean, yeah. You know, you live here, and you do get used to that again. But I hope to go back again, maybe once. My second husband grew up here in Oregon. He's an Oregonian, and I keep telling him, I think you'd really enjoy going there and seeing something different, you know, mm-hmm. like that.
Have you noticed significant differences in the American educational system as opposed to the educational system in Holland?
Well, I don't know that much, you know, in yeah. Holland. And if I'd have to compare to what it was in South Africa, it was more advanced in South Africa. At that time, there was no kindergarten. When you were 5, you went into first grade. So when I came here, I had just started 6th grade in Africa, and I had just turned 10 in 6th grade. They kept me back when I came here because at that time, 7th through 9th grade was what they called junior high. And they felt that I wasn't tested or anything, but they felt that because I was so young, I really shouldn't be in junior high yet. The shame of it was that I came with really good work habits and study habits. 6th grade was so easy that I goofed off. And 7th grade was kind of a shock, you know.
Yeah.
But it's hard to say. I mean, we're talking about, what, 52 years ago?
Yeah.
And I don't think it's the same. For one thing, it's integrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the school where I went to school, it's torn down. They built another school there. They do have a website, so I've been able to look at the website, which has been fun. They still wear uniforms. We wear uniforms, and that's, I think, more the British school system, you know, that's like that. But I'm sure that things have changed, just like yeah. they have here.
Do you ever go back to visit?
Well, I've been back to Holland, but I've never gone back to South Africa. And I do have my next-door neighbor, where we lived the last house in Johannesburg. We are in touch. She lives near Durban. She stayed in South Africa. She's my brother's age. She's almost 4 years older. And so we email each other a couple of times a year. But, you know, my parents always said the main reason they left Africa is that they felt there was no future for me and for my brother. Mm-hmm. And I see that now because this friend has children that are, well, just a couple of years older than we are. And they, I mean, my son is, that's yeah. what she said. And they have had, since the end of apartheid, they've had a real hard time because now, and it makes sense, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Now the discrimination is against the Caucasians. And yeah, you know, they've had, they're well educated and they've had a real hard time with jobs, yeah. you know. And I think it'll take a long time before that all gets, mm-hmm. before the dust settles, yeah. you know. But I know that tourism in South Africa is increasing.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's great to go to Cape Town, go to the Cape Province. It's very cheap. The exchange rate is really great. So maybe we'll do it one day.
Yeah. Would you want to?
I would want to. Yes, I would want to. And what I would really like to do is I would like to go on one of those photography safaris.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a safari, but they don't shoot animals. They go and take pictures. Yeah. And I've looked at some of the websites, because everything, you know, is on the internet. And I've looked at the websites, and just the accommodations where you stay and everything is just very Africa. And I think that would be great to do. I'm not sure that I ever could afford to do it.
Yeah.
We could afford to do it, but it'd be fun
to do.
It'd
be really fun.
Yeah.
I wanted to do that, too.
So yeah, well, you must probably have a better chance than I do.
I doubt it. What are the most important lessons that you have learned while adapting and integrating into a new country?
Well, you know that saying, yeah, do as the Romans do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really important because I know that one of the issues here with a lot of Hispanic people coming here, you know, okay, do we force them to learn English? You know, do we let them, you know, learn everything in Spanish? I don't know that much about it, but I think your own heritage is really important. But if you're staying, I mean, if I went to China, mm-hmm. which would be really a cultural shock
yeah.
because I would really have to learn so much. But I really, if I felt like, okay, I'm going to stay here, then making that effort of reaching out to other people, the culture, the language, and everything like that, because then you in turn benefit. But I wouldn't want anybody to tell me ever that, hey, you can't speak Dutch anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like was done here in early times with American Indians. You know,
yeah.
if you've ever read about that,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want that to happen to anybody
yeah.
either.
Yeah.
We talked about how we came to be there, mm-hmm. and I think an influence in our lives was my brother was born in 1944. I was born after the war. My brother was born during the war, and when the Germans occupied Holland, their intent was to make us part of that quote-unquote great Aryan race. The Dutch were next in line, so to speak. And, of course, most of the Dutch didn't want any part of that. Mm-hmm. You know, so when I was growing up, I did hear about what my parents experienced during the war. My father was called up to go work in Germany. He was a electrical engineer, and they were taking professional people to work in Germany. So my dad went into hiding. He was in hiding for the last couple of years of the war, couldn't work, stayed in the house, had a hiding place. Yeah, they had in the living room, they had a trap door underneath the carpet, and if he had to hide, he could go under there, you know. And so that had an impact, I think, you know, hearing about all of that. I think then it was even more important to my parents to go to a country where you would have choices, where mm-hmm. you would have opportunity, you know. It was interesting. You know, both my parents are gone now, and now I've got the questions.
Yeah.
Now I just really, you know, I certainly would advise you or anybody your age, not just listening to what the older generation, your relatives mm-hmm. have to tell you, but take pictures, make recordings. And I know when I was younger, people told me that. It's like, oh, I'll remember all that.
Yeah.
And now that I'm getting older, I'm thinking, now what was that she told me? I can't remember.
I think about that all the time. I just had lunch with my grandma yesterday. She's like almost 90.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about if I have any questions, I better ask her now while I still can.
Yeah. Because I'm sure even somebody that didn't come from anywhere else that was right here, they've covered such a great period of time mm-hmm. and also their point of view on how things have changed.
Yeah. Was it hard mm-hmm. when you came over to become a citizen?
Well, I was 15 years old and under, maybe it was under 16, I'm not sure. I didn't have to take the test, you know, you have to take a test. I don't know if there's a quota system now, but there was when we came, and my mother actually was born in Indonesia because, you know, Indonesia was a Dutch colony, and her father was a teacher over there. Mm-hmm. And so she was born there, her sister was born there, and when my mother was six, they came back to Holland. Well, here you go, years later, we're in Africa, and we want to come to the United States. People that have been born in Indonesia had a shorter waiting time mm-hmm. than people born in Holland.
That's crazy.
Yeah, my father, my brother, and I were born in Holland, and waiting time for my mother was 9 months.
Yeah.
And so we came in just under the fact that she'd been born in Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
And she's Dutch, you know, she was Dutch. She's not alive anymore. But just simply where she was born. I'm very grateful. I think if I ever had the chance to thank my parents, and I most probably never did, you know. But I think in a way we thank them just because of the education my brother and I got mm-hmm. and the lives we continue to lead here. I think that was enough for my parents. But I would thank them for what they did. And I was old enough to remember the trip. My dad took movies.
That's so cool.
Right before we left Johannesburg, my father, on the occasion of their immigrating, my father gave my mother a watch, which doesn't work anymore, but I have it. And my mother gave my father a movie camera. Well, this was just, you know, it's on a reel.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't powered with batteries. It sounds real primitive to you. Now, to me, it sounds really primitive. But you had to wind it, and then you had so many minutes that you could film.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he started filming right before we left Johannesburg and the train trip to Cape Town and on the boat and
that's
all
really
of that.
Cool.
Yeah, the boats, both the boats, they were boats. I mean, they weren't cruise liners like you have now. They were called victory ships, and they had carried the troops back to America after World War II. And so I've started writing about it, and this is for my grandson. I've started writing about it, putting pictures in a scrapbook. I went on the internet, and I found out the ship that took us from Cape Town to Holland originally was built in Portland, Oregon.
Wow,
you talk
that's
about
so crazy.
You talk about it. So I looked at that. I emailed my brother, and I said, Jim, you wouldn't believe it, you know.
So crazy.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
Great. So we're done?
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. I wish you luck.
Very nice. Thank you for talking with me.
Yay.